Everybody survive yesterday morning's Bible study, Gary?
Thank you. Joe Santa said I should have been here.
Judy wanted to pay me.
What?
Judy asked me if I owed how much money I owed her.
Tell you what, why don't you and Judy not get together?
I'm always there, just any time.
Why don't you arrange it? Why don't you call Judy and arrange it?
No, that's not the way it works.
Come on, Judy. Call your emissary.
Wait a minute. You're going to start this off. You called me a chicken?
Chicken. I'm a chicken. You must be one. All right, I'll mention to Judy that we need to have a little meeting. We'll see where that goes. We'll get to the bottom of that.
Do you understand that our mind talk is words, obviously, right? There, we talk in our to ourselves by the vehicle of words.
Oh, words. Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how you do it. I want you to go to Matthew 12.
Just Gary or
all of them.
That's right, Kevin.
Just be on the test.
Verse 32. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, whether in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, just set that one and see that that's the predicate for what's going to be said next. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make or recognize that the tree is corrupt and the fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Now, when John the Baptist didn't say very many things. He said, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And he said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. That tree is the human race. Now, if you don't believe that, then you have to go look and see something else. But now, listen carefully now. Either make the tree good or the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Now, how do you make the tree corrupt? Remember, though, the word corrupt means that which denigrates with time, that which rusts, that which oxidizes, that which it doesn't mean what you think corrupt means. It means that which changes with time. That's why the gift of God is eternal life. That's why now is the only accepted time. So the fruit of the tree is the definition of the tree, and it doesn't matter whether the fruit of the tree is silent and just sits there talking in his mind, or is outwardly. The tree is corrupt. And that's what you must know by having. I mean, it is lying. By being honest with yourself. If you're not, then you're always going to stop at this thing that you think is sweet. And so therefore you will never know the tree is corrupt because you're eating sweet fruit from it. And literally you are eating it, but it's air. It's nothing. Now listen. O generation of vipers. Now you know that actually says, O sons of the snake. Yeah, and these are the red words. O sons of the serpent.
Who's he talking to?
You. How can you, being evil? Now the word evil there is the word that is, it means it cannot be changed. It's no matter how much glitter and how much gold and how much many diamonds and how, it's just a pile of shit. That's you and me. Did I just say that S word? Oh, well. How can you, being inherently evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And it's not just talking about the words that you speak outwardly. It's all of your inner words. That's why your life is if you give any credence at all to your life, then you have to be judged by your entire life, from your birth to your death. Now, if you can't see that there is that everything that comes forth from the flesh is corruption because it's of the evil one, then nothing I say is going to make any sense to you. You're going to run around and still think all these good thoughts and try to use your mind to understand the scriptures, and you're going to do all these things. And then, all the stuff we've talked about. Your life will be controlled by the pillars, not by faith. You won't even know what faith means because you'll think faith is a commodity so that you can get saved. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, then that means this incredible thing, that because of his offering, whenever God looks at me, he sees Christ. He doesn't even see anything else. The scriptures are clear. Because he cannot even look upon sin. Oh, no. I wish I wouldn't have said that. Now I could go on that one.
I don't understand here. In 34 it says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? And then in 36 it says, you're going to be judged by what you say. You don't have a chance.
That's right. You, as a human race, have no chance. The human race is dead.
You only make the tree good by acknowledging that. I'm dead.
For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of, not faith in. I am crucified, on and on and on. All the stuff we've talked about. You can't do anything about you except die. You mortify the deeds of the flesh, including all of the thought processes. But if you don't go to war with it, then you're. You remember, I've told you so often, the only thing in the universe that's against God is you. Your mind. The instead of Christ, the Antichrist. And that's only against God because it's providing the antagonism so that the truth can be seen. But as long as you think that you can have good thoughts, then you don't know that the tree is corrupt and the axe is not laid to the root of the tree. because you can continue to give life back into the one that was killed from a deadly head wound. Does that communicate at all to anybody? It's either abandonment of self or it's self-consumption. You're consumed with ministering to self, with self-indulgence. Because it's so sweet. It's because you don't know the tree is corrupt.
It reminds me of the parable of the accepting of the leper back into the community of faith, the cleansing of the leper. Putting oil on his hands, putting hands of oil on his feet, putting oil on his forehead, and he steps across an invisible line back into the community when he sees he's completely leprous.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, until Elijah. All the law and the prophets prophesied for you until you see what John did. The minute we cut, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Until then, you just be a religious twit. Do you really see?
Yeah, I see what I see. I assume I'm seeing what you're saying.
You still think that there can be sweet thoughts?
Sure.
And you haven't seen.
Well, maybe I see what I see and you see what you see. You know, I think thoughts sometimes are sweet. That's the whole point of why we're drawn in to that path. At the end of it, we see it's all crap. You know, and we can repent, but
that's why I've said for 30 years
the nature of deception which we're all subject to, and unless we're willing to go through the process to get to the end, then
right.
We don't see. But
right.
if I take what you say the way I'm hearing it, and a sweet thought comes, like, oh shit, there's a sweet thought, I better stop that.
No, that's never what I've said, and you know better than that. What I've said to you is take it to the end.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
And if I'm saying to you as an elder, if you've been here 30 years and still think you have sweet thoughts, what in the hell have you been doing? Why didn't you... We've had this discussion 50 times.
Well, obviously something's going on then.
Well,
I'm not lying to you.
Well, then I think that what I'm hearing is that, you know, for you to think that he's saying what you said, it was you were hearing it as, is kind of weird, because, you know, I mean, we've gone over that many, many times, that that's not what he's saying. So
this.
No, I think we're saying the same thing. I'm just telling you the way.
If that's the way you hear it.
No, the way things are processed through me is the way I'm saying it. You know, things, thoughts come to me. Obviously, they must be sweet, or I wouldn't continue to entertain. But I don't fear that.
Then you don't fear God.
Well, I don't know that that's true. I know that at the end of it, I'll see the truth, whether they're sweet or bad. It doesn't matter to me. The thought is the thought, and it's. If it's entertained, the end of it is Christ. To me, stopping the thought, which is...
I've never told you to stop the thought. I've told you to have honesty about it. To fully discuss it, to learn from empathy from what you've seen from others. To test these scriptures against what you think you think. But what have you been doing for 30 years? How can you have heard this for 30 years and still think you can have sweet thoughts? That's what I'm concerned with. What is it that's missing? Where in my explanation of things, or where in your experience of life, can you ever justify saying that your thoughts are still sweet? Because if you say that, then you don't believe your mind is the instead of Christ.
No, that's not true.
Well, then how can you give...
Because there's deception. And I can be deceived. After 30 years. Plus. But only for a time. Because Christ is revealed in everything. I don't think anybody in the room is any different.
I got to tell you what it is that bothers me about what you're saying. And by using a silly example, but it's all I know of. I drove my car down the road at 80 miles an hour yesterday, headed straight toward a brick wall, and God saved me. Praise God. If I drive my car down the street at 80 miles an hour tomorrow toward a brick wall, God will save me. Therefore, I can drive my car 80 miles an hour toward a brick wall. You are saying that you're taking for granted that in the future God will forgive you and pull you out of the mire. So it's okay to go back into the mire. That's what's wrong with what you're saying. You are presupposing that He will forgive you and save you.
Let's go to
that's not a safe assumption.
Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3.
Let me speak to what Harry says, and you personally. When you get cranked up about something, there's a process. You see something out of order. That perception to you is, oh my God, if I straighten that up, everything will be right. That's a sweet thought. That makes it right if I straighten it up. If somebody says something that's out of line, the thought is delightful to you. Or you wouldn't respond so vigorously.
Okay.
That's the sweetness of the thought. So you respond. Then you see something.
Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, please. We can sit here and play games and justify ourselves all day. That's not what this is about.
I'm not trying to justify myself. I'm just talking about the plenty.
Second Peter chapter 3, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner a person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Remember, conversation is manner of life and godliness is thought. Got that?
Say it again. Manner of life is...
conversation. It seems like it should be the worst. But in the way the Greek words were translated, when it talks about your conversation, it's talking about how you walk. And the godliness is how you think. I won't go into all that, but we've studied this before. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for new heavens and new land wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, all of those things, to be in peace, without spot and blameless, have only, they just all mean the same thing. We could go forever about what a spot is and what blameless is and what a blemish is. What it means for the garment to be spotted by the flesh, and all those other things that we've spent so much time on. We could talk about how that if you take the communion, the afkamen, the bread and the wine unworthily. You're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord because you didn't discern the Lord's body. All of these things. Here, it's talking about this thing. It's going to happen as a thief in the night, suddenly. In the twinkling of an eye. Everything in the universe will melt. Now, to be without spot and blameless, that we would be found of Him without spot and blameless, means that we have come to a position where we agree, we confess the Lord Jesus. It's not a confession vis-a-vis, oh, I think you exist, God, and isn't that big of me. It is the acknowledgement that you think the same things, see the same things that He does. You see the corruption of all of the flesh. And the promise of God is that if you continue to sow to the flesh, which is what you do with your sweet thoughts, you're going to, of the flesh, reap corruption. Now, for some unknown reason, we've been called to this incredible mystery of the gospel of the cross. The preaching of the cross, in which it requires our 100% abandonment of self. Now, if that's not where you are, and if you can't hear that, and if you can't revenge the disobedience when you see that you're being disobedient, because I promise you, every one of the sweet thoughts that you may have at any given moment of time are common to every man on the face of the earth. So you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men, or esteemed at all among men, is an abomination unto God. So if you don't see, and why is it an abomination? Because it is saying to God that His sacrifice wasn't enough for you. And it's really the rankest form of heresy. Now, again, the reason I'm so hard on you, first of all, is because you have the courage to admit it. But second of all, is because everybody here is guilty of it. I can't negotiate with that and be true to what I know. I have to condemn it instantly. And if you still think there are sweet thoughts, then you haven't heard, because because by the thoughts is where you sow to corruption, and of this if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap more corruption, because the tree is evil. And so there has to come a place where there's a reckoning. There's a time of reckoning. Remember the hot seats? Yeah. I mean,
they're all coming back to me right about now.
You were totally stone-faced. You couldn't answer. You were like an idol, like the idol you worshipped you'd become. Why? Why did we do that? We did it because, in reading Zephaniah, from my perspective, it says that we must conduct ourselves every day as if it's judgment day. And that we must not be slack concerning His promise with regard to what we permit in ourselves. We must show ultimate mercy to everybody else and ruthless revenge to ourselves. And unless we do that, then we're not being true to what we know. We're still a kid in the candy store thinking that there's something sweet. That's why I've said to you so often, and to all of you, share those thoughts. Why? So I can get yelled at? No, you share them to see whether or not, maybe you're right. Let's just assume for a second that you're right. And it's black and white. If you're right, then I'm wrong on this issue. Because I'm saying there is no time, therefore there is no excuse, for any thought process. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought, period. Abandon. Well, that, then maybe we could probably, I think we should become successful. I just have to change the words just slightly. I'm a pretty good speaker. We could probably have a whole lot of people here and we could be successful. And I can't do that because I know that the next moment may be the end. The twinkling of an eye. And that's how I have to conduct my life. And that's how you have to conduct your life. And I would pray that you would be found of Him in faith, without spot, and blameless. Not off visiting some imaginary world in your mind. We are transfigured by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We test everything against that mystery, casting down every imagination and every high place that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And we do that by fully testing it. Not stopping at the fantasy. And that's what our second-by-second life should be. Because if we stop at the fantasy, then we will continue. We'll be seduced. We've been drawn back into the kingdom of darkness. But you excuse disobedience.
But no, I'm seeing something that I don't feel like it's being addressed or something. Because you even just said it. What do you mean you're drawn away? How are you drawn away? By what vehicle?
Your mind.
And why would your mind go for it?
Because it's stupid. No. Your mind is not redeemable.
So it falls for this crap.
No, but that's why you can't fall for your mind.
Well, sure. But that's just words about stuff. The reality is I do fall for some of that stuff.
Why?
That's the sweet thought I'm talking about. Which
give me an example. Give me an example. Give me an example.
Don't you understand what I'm saying?
Give me an example. Of course I understand. Give me an example.
Okay. I read some political thing that I agree with. And so I go, yeah, right, that son of a bitch did this or that. And I get sucked into that shit. And then I go far enough and I say, what the hell am I doing? This is ridiculous. This has nothing to do with what I'm about or me. And I...
Well, let's take something other than politics. That's not a sweet thought.
You want sex, though.
No, I don't care whether it's sex or success. I want it to be something real to you.
Well, that is real to me.
You haven't been drawn away from politics very long. I mean, that's not what's really happening.
You haven't been walking with him up to the coffee shop very much.
All right, take you. Son of a bitch only. Trying to kick my ass in morning meeting, trying to make fun of me, blah, blah, blah. You know, and
what goes on in your mind then? What's the next step?
Well, take just what I said. That is a sweet thought to me.
What's sweet about it? Because it
gives me life.
What it does is it elevates you above me.
Exactly, and that's sweet. In my mind, that's a good position for me to work from, and I can do anything I want to you in that place. That's
okay. What are you doing to me in that place?
I'm beating you up. I'm saying things that are more powerful than what you say, or making you see what I'm seeing, or I'm winning the battle. I'm saying.
Are you and Harry? Do you share upper rooms here?
No, we don't talk about this. But that's the process of the sweet thought, and it manifests itself in any number of places, but this is an example. And And then if I stop that, which, you know, we both agree that's not the thing to do. If I stop it, then I'm a religious prick who is able by my own powers of mind to cut off what I judge to be evil. But if I don't stop it and take it all the way through, then I see that there's something far greater going on, and whether I'm being made a fool or not doesn't matter because my life isn't my own. And I know that it's of love that all this stuff is happening. If I'm being chastised, it's because I'm not a bastard. But if I don't carry that sweet thought, which is that's my definition of sweet thought, damn phone, then I don't see and I'm not able to repent. That is the process that allows me to see and understand everything we're talking about.
Okay, all I'm asking you to do is if you feel like beating me up, come and attack. If you feel like, huh?
No, that's what I was thinking. Don't stop or don't even take it through. Just talk.
No, don't even think about it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Well, if this is the vehicle that it takes place,
well,
if
I
physically come over and I don't want to hit you.
But no, but the same thing with whatever it is, yeah. You got to do it. Because if once you've done it, it'll lose its power over you. I mean, that's why this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That you abstain or be fed up with fornication. Now, no matter what you call it, all of those things that you've described are fornication. Because they're going somewhere other than the Father for food, sustenance. Because everything you describe is corn, wine, and oil, because it feeds you. And that's why we've named Isaiah 57 the Buckner chapter.
You know, it was fornication that brought me to God.
Well, probably not.
Oddly enough, because of all my fornicating or seeking life everywhere else, I couldn't find it. And I not came to the end of myself and wanted to die because I couldn't find life. That was the process in a nutshell.
Well, that's the human race.
Yeah.
But again, without the preaching of the cross, you can cause this word to be used to enhance your fornication instead of cutting it off or divorcing it. Now, forgetting that, I'm just wanting you to hear that all of those things that you're doing in your mind, whether it is sexual or it is success or it is beating me up or it is winning an argument with me or whatever it is, they're all fornicating. Now, you shake your head, yes, but I don't think you really believe it.
What are you saying I should do? Stop thinking?
No. I'm saying you should go ahead and do whatever you think you want to do. If you can't see the end of it by thinking about it, then you got to do it. That's what I've taught for years and years and years. I've said often that people that have left to go do are better than those that stay and don't. But you're caught in this unique conundrum because there's really nothing you want to do out there, and so you're stuck here. But you still live it in your mind.
Can I say how it seems just like what's being said to you is there's something distasteful about that process? But what you sort of say is like, ooh, there's this process. Woohoo! Bring it on.
Yeah, I think the process is what reveals.
Well, are you mad at me now? Or you were earlier? Let's go back a few minutes.
No, I'm not mad.
But you were a few minutes ago. Yeah, I mean, I saw it.
I don't know.
Okay, well, next time, just come over and attack me. Do whatever is there. Don't beat me up in your mind. Don't win an argument in your mind, because that's just gonna you're gonna respond to whatever you think in your mind is how you respond. And if you're committing fornication in your mind, then you will be guilty. You won't be free, Gary. That's all.
Thank you.
striking me is almost all of us have some example, like I was at the end of my rope and, you know, nothing was satisfying. And I think the key that we're talking about here is that every single thing is just like that. You know, when it comes up, to see it as everything hinges on this moment. You know, one moment after another. It's like that's the, everything's the same. It's not like something has already happened and then all this is different. It's all the same. You know, and that's what I'm hearing, seeing clearly.
And what I pray for you, and I know it's there, it's just hidden over by this crap, is zeal and discernment. And that's, I want you to be free, and you're not. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Any second, at any moment, at any point. That's, and godliness is about, you know, it's asebius, or it's this incredible place where you don't owe this thing, this beast, anything. I mean, you've tried to grow horns on the beast. Take a big guy.